We're learning Sichen, Kutta Sichas Chelik Yud, Parshas Vayetzeh, the first Sicha. As this shir is a little bit more of an in-depth shir, so we're not going to go through the Sicha inside. Touch upon a few points of the Sicha and possibly a few shtikalach of the Sicha to learn inside together. So the Rebbe is shtalin zechir on the Pasuk in the Parsha, Vayetzeh Yankev Me'eshev Vayelech Arana. The Medrash tells us that there's a deeper meaning. It's not only referring to the physical departure from the city, but there's something more over here. The Mefarshim explained that the Medrash, the Yusayid of the Medrash is because the Pasuk seems to be saying extra words over here. It could have just said, Vayelech Yankev Charana. It doesn't have to stress where he's leaving. It's something which is self-understood, as we know from earlier Pesukim, where he was. And the Medrash therefore says that there's something additional that's being hinted to, that he was Yotzo Mebe'eret Shal Shvua, that he kind of escaped and got out of the well of the Shvua, which means like the source and like the trap of the Shvua that he would have been stuck in had he stayed in Be'er Sheva. Which means if he would have stayed in Be'er Sheva, he would have had to make some kind of agreement with Avimelech, who was the Melech of Plishtim, but also was the Melech on the city of Be'er Sheva. And he did not want to do that. And that's why he left. Now before we go into the Sicha, just ha'ara about the Pshat and the Medrash. The Medrash is talking about Avraham delaying the Yidden going into Eretz Yisrael as a result of the Shvua for seven generations. Where do seven generations come from? In the Shvua, the Lashon is Im Tishker Li Ulenini Ulenechti, which is Avimelech talking about himself, his son, and his grandson, which is three generations. And each one of the Avis, had they renewed the Shvua, would have extended it one more generation, because there were one generation further, and that would extend the Shvua also one more generation. And so where did seven generations come from? So the emes is that the Shvua itself really was technically for three generations, but the third generation of Avimelech extended for a very long time. By the time the Yidden were ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, for which Bnei Yisrael, seven generations passed, the Einikel of Avimelech was still alive. So for him, it was still his third generation, and that's how it gets to seven. Akopanim, each one of the Avis added another one, if they would have made the Shvua, Yitzchak did that. And Yankiv did not want to. He didn't want to extend the Shvua for another generation, because he didn't want to delay Yidden going to Eretz Yisrael any further. The question the Rebbe tells Chana de Sich is, why Dafke Yaakov? Why was he the only one that was concerned about this? The other obviously didn't seem to have a problem with it. And all of a sudden Yaakov is saying, no, it's a problem, I can't do that. In order to answer that, the Rebbe prefaces a Havana, a Biur, in how to understand the difference, the uniqueness of Yaakov as you compare him to Avraham and Yitzchak. The Avoid of the Avis, each one was unique and each one was different. Here we're focusing on Avraham and Yitzchak, kind of one category, and the Chiddush of Yankiv. Avraham and Yitzchak were not affecting the Ra, the Umazah Klippus, to such an extent, and to transform it to Kedusha. Yaakov did have that Inyan in his Avaida, to take the Klippa, take the Umazah, and to be Mevarid, and to transform it to Kedusha. That's the Teichen that the Rebbe says. The obvious question is that the Rebbe himself addresses on page 89, towards the bottom, to say that Avraham and Yitzchak didn't deal with Inyani Ha'olam and weren't involved with being Mevarer in Inyani Ha'olam, Avedus HaBirurim, is not correct. They both did that, especially Avraham, who was Mefarsim Alikus in the world in a very obvious way, even without learning Birurim HaPichsidus of what each one of the others were doing. Nevertheless, says the Rebbe, it's different. Let's look at the last line of that page 89, the last line of the first column. The Rebbe says the following: B'chol zois hois avidasim d'avoyder v'avram and Yitzchak avidasim zu b'nyanir ha'u klippa was b'derech t'chiyu shlil. The way they dealt with Ra, the way they dealt with klippa, was pushing it away, negating it. Shalo yinagdu v'yafriyu l'nyani kedusha, that it shouldn't disrupt and it shouldn't interfere with kedusha. Avaloi, the Aveda was not Shehem Atzman, that the Klippa itself Yehovchul Toivu Kedusha. Harei comes out that Tachlisu Matarasu Shalitzkasuk Yisaskusam Bin Yonira Upolosam Bahem. What was their objective? What was their goal? What were they doing with the ra? Ha'isu ba'ayfin shal shalila. To negate the ra, bitla isnagdos v'loy birim mitzvusim. To negate the fact that it was fighting against Kedusha, but not to actually take over the clip itself and transform it to Kedusha. That was when they get Avraham and Yitzchak. Masha'en kendeva continues. B'yakev, it was different. B'yakev, v'yelo charana, he went down to Charan, Charein Afshal Malkim, a place where the just anger Kavayachal is expressed, a place of Helen v'hester and alikos, and there, his avayda was a positive pula, not just to negate the klip, but to push it away, but to do it in a constructive way, to refine them and to transform them to kedusha. Now, that's a clear difference. The question is, where do we see that? On the contrary, we see very clearly b'negeit Avram that he was transforming in Yani Ha'ilam and people in the world. And he wasn't just pushing them away and negating their negative influence, he was bringing them over to the side of Kedusha. And the Rebbe has a whole arichas about this in Ha'ara 14, we're not going to go through the whole thing inside. But the Rebbe brings that we see that he was having a very big effect on the world. The Lashon of the Rambam, the Niskabtsuei Lov Alofim, Ruvavish, thousands and tens of thousands of people, that he taught the Emes of Elikus, that seems to be a very positive pula. And that seems to be actually transforming in Yonim that belong to Lumaza, over to the side of Kedusha. The Teichon that the Rebbe answers in the Ha'ara is that although he did have Hashpa on them, it wasn't something that had a lasting effect. It was only Lefi Shah. Didn't have a Hemshech. How does that fit with what the Rebbe says in the Pnim of the Sicha, that it was Ba'ifim Shal Shalila? It wasn't just Shalila. He did have an impact on them. It just wasn't permanent. So what it seems is that also bedakos is called shlila. Why? Because he didn't really transform them in a total eifin. If they would have been totally transformed, if no ra would have been left in them, then why is it that later somehow they fell back into klipa and they got lost and they got back absorbed in the rest of Ummah Sa'ilim that did not recognize the Eibushta? It must be that the ra really was not transformed. And therefore, at a later point in time, the ra could be chayjiv in it, could be reawakened and take effect and bring them back to lumaza. So it was obviously more in a way of shlila, that it was just holding back the ra and not allowing it to express itself, but it was still there. That's a chiddush of Yaakov, that he was piling on the clip in a deeper way, that he transformed it to good in a shleimustik way, and therefore it remained for l'toiv, l'tamid, like the Rebbe says lashon earlier in the sikha, something permanent. The question is, where do we see that? The Rebbe says this in the sikha, and we accept that, but where do we see b'pail mamish in the avayda of Yaakov? And especially when you contrast it to Avram, that he was affecting the klipa in that deeper way and in that more permanent way. So possibly the explanation is as follows. We know that when you have an effect on a mekabel in a way that you're beaming into him a very powerful emes that's higher than his reality, it could definitely affect him, it could definitely move him, but it's not in a way that the mekabel is changed. You're not really getting a message internalized into the life of the Mekabel, and you're not really changing him. You're being mayor to him, you're shining to him something higher than his reality, you're showing him something that's beyond what he would expect on his own, and that's affecting him, but always like something which is not really changing him from the inside, it's more like something that's kind of attached from the outside. And that seems to be the way it was when he get Avram. The effect that he had on them was quite big. But nevertheless, the effect was more that Avram was doing it more milmaila lamata, something that's coming from above. Let's take the simple example that the Rebbe mentions, although he doesn't say the details, of Avram Avinu being mefasim alikus through the eshel that he had. He would give them food, and as we know, he would tell them, if you don't bench and if you don't thank the Eibushter, you're going to have to pay for it. Which means Avram was in the position that he had everything that they needed. He had the food, he had the drink, and he used that to compel them to recognize the Eibushter. That's how he was hikri l'shmei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'fikol eiv v'shov. So it was much more coming from the position of Avram and where he was coming from, and kind of almost forcing them to go along with him. Even if you continue with the description of the Rambam, that Rebbe brings a few short words about that in the Ha'ara 14, where it was more of a teichendike hashpa that he had on them, not just forcing them to bench, but rather having a real impact on them. So the Rambam brings that Avram started calling out b'kol gadol to everyone and he was going and traveling, and he was collecting people from one city to another, from one kingdom to another. And then that's the Lashon that brings in the order. When you read that description of the Rambam, it sounds like Avraham Avinu had a tremendous koyach of hashpah. If you want to start being tired, like the Dmus of a Maggid that would go from town to town and come to a shul and everyone would get inspired. It sounds like there was some kind of charismatic leadership that Avraham had, if we may use these words, like almost like a ruchnistik and manhig that was gathering together all these people and rallying them together to a certain cause. Because of this profound hashpah that he was able to have on people. That's what it sounds like just from reading the Lashon of the Rambam. So again, it sounds more like something that's coming much more momayla, rather than something that's more like grassroots, something that's more coming from the tachtin itself, from the mekabel itself. Also, another detail, Avram was working more with the seichel of people, which is also a higher element of a person, not so much working with the lower, more grabe, more klippidig a part of them. So Avram was definitely pael hamshachas alikus in the world, in a very major way, but again, not so much in a way of birur, of the tachtin of the mekabel, from his point of view, but more from the point of view and the perspective of hamshachas alikus momayla that was being beamed into them. That's when you get to Avram. When you contrast that to Yaakov, Yaakov was almost the opposite. Yaakov went to Haran as an individual person, not as some kind of leader, not as somebody that's running some kind of big organization. He was coming to Haran as Haran was. So his Ashpa Ruchnis, which Chassidus does tell us, it's not something maybe so obvious in the story, that there was a major Ashpa Ruchnis and he was being involved with Birurim, but it was done from a point of view of going into Haran, into that low place, and working with it on its terms. We see also the Pesukim tell us that as Yaakov was traveling towards Haran, Vayikach me'avnei amakim, Chassid Taiches, famous Maimon Shavdei B'Shalom Tavshon Lamed Ches, where it talks about this Barichas, Vayikach me'avnei amakim means Avnei amakim, the lowest part of the world, Avonim is Doimim, which corresponds to the idea of Dir B'tachtoinim, working with the lowest part of the Gashmias. That was the idea of what Yaakov was doing, being mislabish completely in that Makim Gashmi that he was getting involved with. When he came to Lavan and he was working with the Tzayin, he was working with them as a shepherd, and in that goof he was Mamshech Kedusha. We know also the Remez in the name of Yaakov, that it's Yud Ekev, it's bringing down the Yud, the Pintele, the highest levels of Kedusha, but bringing it into the Ekev, into the heel, bringing it to the lowest places. Unlike, like was mentioned before, when he gets Avram, that he was more affecting their brain, their seichel, their logic, more higher elements of Elam Hazai Gashmi. So that's the reason why by Yaakov it was more of a permanent and real effect. Because it was more coming, more coming from the point of view of the tachten and working with the lowest element of the Gashmis of Elam Hazah, that's what really got to the core of the klippa and was able to transform it. And that's why it says in Chassidus that the Birurim of Yaakov, a number of Maimarim that talks about this, the Birurim of Yaakov, they are considered to be the Hakadama Ta'ar Birurim that we do today. Because it was done more in this eifen of more working with Velt, in a more milmata lamayla way. Now the Rebbe, interestingly enough, connects us to another inyan that it says when they get to Yaakov, that you might think is totally disconnected. The Rebbe connects this in Siv Beis of the Ma'amer. He comes back to it in Gimel as well. That this is connected to what it says in the Medrash that Yaakov was mitosei shleima. Avram was yatzimeni Yishmael. It wasn't only a tzaddik that came out of him. Yitzchak was Yatzim and Esav. By Yaakov, all of his 12 children were Shleimim B'Kedushasam. It's like Gevaldik HaMaila. Everyone wants to achieve that. Everyone's parent wants to have all of their children should be fully involved with Kedusha, not Chas V'Shalom Marab Gelishnazach. It says that Yaakov had that Maila. How did he achieve that? So now, the beer that you usually would understand, the simple beer would be, because of the special positive connection that Yaakov had to the Eibershter, which in a certain way was deeper than Avram and Yitzchak, mainly because it was a combination of both. Midas Emesel Yaakov Teferes, which is Kehilil all angles. So therefore there was no room for anything else. It was a complete, full connection. And it was such a deep connection that therefore didn't allow for anything to go out of the realm of Kedusha. So it's more like a positive Kedushadike connection that Yaakov had, a deeper one, that ensured that all of his children should stay connected. Here in the Sikh, the Rebbe says a different approach. somewhat of a chiddush, that the reason why he had that hatzlacha mitaseh shleima had to do with the way he was relating to inyani ha'ilam. Not so much his kedusha de kinyanim, but more the way he dealt with klippa, the way he was involved with the tzatcha kenegat. How did the two things connect? Why, by you having a certain approach, when you get to how you deal with klippa, why should that guarantee the mitaseh shleima? So it could be the explanation is as follows. The idea of chinuch, being mechanic children, and we're trying to be mechanic them that they should remain in the correct path, in the derech, which is eila base kale, there's always a danger. The danger is that the child might get a hashpa from inyani ha'olam, from anachos ha'olam, to put it mildly, and that could, chas v'shalom, veer him away from the path of kedushin. How do we avoid that? There are many pathways and many ideas, and I don't think that any one of them represent the only exclusive way to go. We probably kind of do a combination of all of the three that I'm going to mention. Number one would be to try to protect and to shelter the child as much as possible, not to be connected so much to Inyani Ha'ilim, or Al-Kopan and those Inyani Ha'ilim that we don't want him to be connected to. There was once a Yechidus, the Rebbe was speaking to him, this is an Emunov, and he was describing to him the different stages and the challenges that Tmimim, that Bachim in Yeshiva went throughout history, and he talks about the way it was in Lubavitch. In Lubavitch, the door to the chutzah was locked, there was nowhere to go, there was no distractions, and the Tmimim could give themselves over completely to Avodas Hashem. That was that approach, completely locking ourselves away from Inyani Ha'ilah. There's a famous sicher with Rebbe, is Meshabeach HaChassid, that writes them in a letter that I wish and I want that I'm trying to achieve that my son should know only of the Eberste and Lubavitch, and that's it. And Rebbe mentioned that at Febrengen, as a mile, as a flaw, that's what a parent should want from their child. There's definitely truth to that idea. A second akuda would be a little bit of a different idea, a different approach. He might know what's going on in the world. The child might not be completely sheltered. He knows what's going on. He has a certain awareness of other ideas that are flowing out there. But the chinuch that he's given is that those inyanim are not for us. Those inyanim are not the correct inyanim. We could explain why, be shaylul them, explain why that's not the correct inyanim to be looking for. And that could help and could protect him that he shouldn't be schlepped after it, because you implant in him that he's hecher from them, he's higher than that, he's removed from all of those narishkeit. We find the Rebbe taking this approach many times. The Rebbe is sometimes poking fun or trying to bring out the nidrikheit of certain hanachas, haylam balabatish hanachas, the sikhs about different maestros and the furnishing of one's home, that Rebbe is kind of poking fun at these hanachas, haylam, and the pashta reason is to give a chinuch chassidim that these are things that we should not be kachin zichin, we're higher than that, they exist, but we're not going to run for that, that's not going to be what our life is revolving around. Definitely a valid nekuda that we definitely do to a certain extent. But the third approach is going a step further. That the chinuch is, and this is the message that the person himself tells himself and imparts to his children, that every nekuda or nekuda that exists in the world is created l'chvayde shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing that escapes that. Everything has to be utilized for Kedusha, or to transform it to Kedusha if it can't be utilized directly. Now, the yesod of this third approach, where is it coming from? It's coming from a very deep-seated emunah and a recognition that ain't it muvadi, kipshute. The only emissary reality is alikus. So, when you get to the core of it, there's no such a thing that something could be menaget alikus. What does that mean, being menaget alikus? The only reality is alikus. Alikus nemdurch, it permeates and it penetrates every nekud of reality. The only thing is, we have to reveal it, we have to maybe peel away some layers, we have to break away a shell, glippa. But that's the ultimate truth of every nekuda of existence. Now, what happens when a child faces challenges from inyani ha'ilam that might raise questions in his mind about other options, v'cholu v'cholu? So if you had the first approach, that you're just sheltering him and he's completely aloof from everything, so when he's going to meet in Yonah Yoylem for the first time, it's very shaykh, there's a big chash that it's going to be a very big nisayin for him, because he was never taught how to deal with it. He was only taught that it doesn't exist. He doesn't have any tools. In the second approach, even there, where we did give him the tools to understand why this is not what he should be looking for. That's not what his kach is. He has a higher pursuit in life. He has much, much deeper meaning in life. And he could understand it. He could have accepted that to a certain extent. But the other side, the other option is still an option. There's still another track. There's still another way to live. And he might choose that. It might tempt him, and it might be to the point that he's going to decide one day to be machshavet and to take that as his ikr and to start going in that direction. Dafkan, the third eifin, here you're fully covered, if you may say. Here we're opening the child's eyes to realize that there's nothing which is escaping the matar of the Eibishter, the matar of the Dirbet Achteinim. There's nothing that goes out of the emes of Alikus. So even when we're training him, that even when you look at Inyan Ya'ilam, you don't see that there's like some kind of competition and some kind of struggle between that and Kedusha. Everything is really just another opportunity for the B'li Gvod of the Eibush to express itself. Again, it doesn't mean necessarily directly. Sometimes it's indirectly. Sometimes there's going to be a process of this hapcha that might not be so simple. But ultimately, he knows that deep down, there's nothing that really is going away from Kedusha. And that could be the difference between Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. Let's kind of focus on the second approach and the third approach. Avram and Yitzchak as well, the way they dealt with negative things in the world was shlila, like the Rebbe says a number of times in the Sicha, making it clear that this is not what has to do with me. Separating Inyani HaKlipa from Inyani HaKedusha, recognizing the position of Kedusha, recognizing the position of Klipa, and showing how they are not meant to be intertwined with each other, and we have our path, they have their path. Yaakov, on the other hand, is Midas HaEmes, like was mentioned before. He's the Briach HaTichin, Shemavliach Men HaKotzer LaKotzer, like this brings from the Mishkan, the pole that went all the way around. He has the ability to bring the Kedusha through and through and to penetrate every fiber of the world. When you accomplish that, that's Mitas HaShleima. Then there's, can't say a guarantee, but that's what happened by Bnei Get Yaakov. Then it was Mitas HaShleima. That's what it accomplished. Why? Because if you don't have the Avodah of Yaakov, there's two paths, there's two choices, there are options. Yes, it's true, I encourage my son to do option number one, but there's option number two, and he sees that, and he might see other people following that option. Maybe I should too. But the Chiddush of Yaakov is that no. There's no two separate paths. Everything is all one path. Everything is all about how it's being transformed to Kedusha. The Nyanam that it is, the difference is there's a Nyanam that are already on the side of Kedusha, and there's things that are waiting to be transformed to the side of Kedusha. It's all really on the same page. If you have that hakara, what does it mean yatsa? It says when you get Avram, yatsa mena Yishmael, yatsa mena Esau, when you get to Yitzchak. Yatsa means that there's a place to leave. I could be here and I could be there. If we recognize that it's all part of one greater whole, there's nowhere to go out. There's nowhere to escape. There's nowhere to chas v'shalom slip out, because everything is encompassed by the reality of Kedusha. That's a little bit of Oisius to explain why the method of Yaakov's dealing with the world and transforming it gives us the end result of Mitas HaShleima. Taking this idea, towards the end of the Sicha, the Rebbe explains that that's the reason. Now we can understand why Avram and Yitzchak were ready to swear, make the Shuat HaVimelech, and Yaakov was not. The avoid of Avram and Yitzchak was to make a clear distinction between Tov and Ra, make sure that the Ra doesn't disrupt the Tov. They were never trying to be mehapech the klipa to Kedusha in the full sense of the word. So their shavu with Avimelech made perfect sense. It's perfect. They're making a bris. You don't bother me, I don't bother you, and everyone is happy. On the other end, Avodah of Yaakov was to be mehapech the tzadja keneged to Kedusha, to change the mahus of klipa, to transform it. Yaakov, therefore, was not able to make this type of bris with Avimelech. To be mashlum with Avimelech, to be maskim that he should just be Avimelech and I'll be Yaakov? No. Then not to be mahapachim l'toiv, that's not the avoid of Yaakov. Like Deb explains in Sivdalid, this is page 91, on the first column, the second paragraph. Let's look a little bit inside. Amnam kolza oifan avidasam shal Avram v'Yitzchak kanal. This fits perfectly with avoid of Avram and Yitzchak. Mashenke b'Yaakov. He was totally negating Klippa. Don't confuse this with the Shlila that was mentioned earlier in the Sicha, which means to just put it on the side and not transform it. Here we mean Shlila a little bit deeper, to actually totally negate it by transforming it. Here he was completely transforming it, either Skafia first, but then his Habcha Shal Klippa v'Sitrach, and transform it to Kedusha. He wasn't able to make a bris, to make that agreement, and to make shalom with Avimelech, and allow him to remain in his tzir, and I do my thing, and he does his thing. That's what it means. He was going away from Be'er Sheva, and he was going to Charan. Like the Medrash explains, he wanted to avoid the Shua of Avimelech. The idea of leaving Be'er Sheva was because the Avodah of Yaakov did not allow him to be mashlim, to make shalom, to be at peace with the Metzius of around the world. He did not stay in his place, which was a great place to be, Be'eretz and Eretz Yisrael. Eretz asher geima in avay lekecha bav geima, no? He left that place. He went. Why? To be levaray, lehapcha lekdusha, because that was the shlichas and that was the tafkid of Yaakov. Now the question is, if that's the case, why did he have to go to Charan? No. Avram and Yitzchak made shalom with Avimelech. They were ready to do that. Let's make the lines clear. Tov and I are separated from each other and they're fine with that. Yaakov wanted to be mevaram hapach then. So why can't he do that to Avimelech? Why do you have to go to Lavan? Why do you have to go somewhere else? So it could be the reason is, hinted to a little bit in the words of the Sicha Gufa. The Rebbe says, in the middle of page 91, he could not make the bris with Avimelech kefisha nimtza b'tzuyur yihu, the way he was in his form, in his current state. Now the Pashto Pshat is saying that this is what Yaakov was not ready to do. But you could also see in these words possibly a reason why he was not able to go further. When Avimelech is b'tzuyur yihu, that means he's set. He's molded already. To be mahapach something, you have to have something which is able to be transformed and changed. You have to have something which is not in such a powerful mold. In order to make something changed over, he has to lose his original tzir, and now he could be transformed to kedusha. Avimelech was a melech. He was a king. He was with his full taikif. He had his position. He was not somebody that was lending himself to being changed into something totally different. Mashenki Lavan, we don't find necessarily that level of taikif and permanence in the way he was originally, which allowed that flexibility for Yaakov to be mevarer him. There's a very interesting hira that you could apply in many practical ways that comes out from this vart that the Rebbe says in the end of the sikh over here. B'pashtos, somebody that's very involved with being mehapach the world to kedusha, you would expect them to be involved with the world the most, the maximum, much more than somebody that's not kaching zech so much in this avodah of being mehapach the world to kedusha. And that's what some people will tell you, that mashallah, as chassid chabad, we recognize the important shlichus of transforming the world to kedusha. We embrace in Yonah Ha'olam. We're not like other people that shun in Yonah Ha'olam. Look, it has some truth to it, but look what the sikha is telling us. Sometimes it comes out the opposite. It's counterintuitive a little bit, but it comes out the opposite. If you're trying to be mahapach, at times you have to totally go away from Ha'olam Hazeh. Why? Because somebody that's ready to allow Metzius Ha'olam to stay, and he's going to make shalom with that, he's okay with Velt continuing as it wanted to continue all along, he could make some kind of, he could come to terms with Ha'olam Hazeh. Somebody that has that vision to be mahapach Ha'olam Hazeh, his interaction with Ha'olam Hazeh is exclusively if that is the end goal, that is going to be the end result. If he sees that that's something which cannot be mishapach, to a certain extent at least, in the right way, as much as possible, he has to move on. That's not something that I'm touching. That's what we see from the story of Akiv. He was saying that even though he could make some kind of compromise with Avimelech, but he didn't see that at the end of the day there would be a ishapcha, he said, that's not for me. So sometimes, dafke, when we have the matar of being mahapach, that sometimes tells us to pull back away from Elam Hazeh. And this is something which you see in many ways in the Rebbe's approach to Miftzayim and Tafat Samayanis, that there always has to be a clarity and a vision that their ultimate goal is not just to get involved within Yonah Ha'olam the way they are, Chas HaShalom, but their goal is to be mahapach in Yonah Ha'olam to Kedusha. And it always has to be apparent, it has to be something which is something that's within reach, or something I'll call upon for the long-term vision, that's part of the picture. And like the Rebbe finishes off in the Sicha, that through this Avoida of being mevarer the lowest parts of Elam Hazeh, that's the Avoida of Yaakov, that's the way we're going to get to the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. Dafka Yaakov is connected to the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, Bebias, Mashiach Tzidkenu.